God and God alone. We sung the song today. I wrote it all down. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Bow down before him. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. Bow down before him. I find pleasure in worshiping him. There is nothing, there is no one who compares with him. God is enough. I'm going to read a scripture from Exodus, and then I'm going to have you to stand as I read the entire Psalm 62. But Exodus 3, I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on his mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. I am that I am. I am enough, God Almighty. Nothing else is needed. I am enough for you, generation after generation. If you would stand with me as I read the entire Psalm 62, and I'm going to ask you as you go home after service today, if this will be a psalm that you will meditate on, and that you will also read Psalm 63, and that you'll open up your heart and ask the Lord to seal this in your heart, to give you a clear vision of what it is he's trying to say to us in this hour. It says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation, the King James may say, my expectation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Will all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. David is blessing the Lord. Then he pauses and he remembers and he thinks about the trials and the tribulations. And then all of a sudden it comes back into his heart as he begins to say, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken. Two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Father, bless your word. Anoint your word. Cause this living word to just pierce our hearts today. Open us up to realize, Father, that you are indeed enough. Nothing else is needed. When all else has failed, you are still there. Cause us to realize this through the teaching of your word today. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Pastor was preaching during the New Year's service and the Christmas service, and he said something so profound. He said, our goal is to pursue God. Our goal is to chase after God. Well, if this is our goal, if this is our drawing, then we ought to realize at this point in our life that God is enough. As disciples of Christ, we have got to come to the point in our walk when we realize that he alone is enough. God alone. See, this shakes some of us because we've had so many other things that we've depended on, so many other things that we run to, so many other things that we will try before we go to God, that this makes you feel uncomfortable. You can't rest in what the Lord is saying to hear him saying, me. That's all you need. It almost may sound like blasphemy to somebody. You mean his promises, his prophetic word? God says, I'm enough. I'm enough. So what you need to do is shake yourself, because God is pulling us up into a level of maturity when he says, you only need me. All the other trivial, all that you've been running, all this entertain the flesh, all it's just me. I remember, I don't know if it was last Sunday, we were doing praise and worship, and we weren't as fervent as we normally. And I believe the Lord began to speak, saying, it's all right. You don't have to go by your feelings. You don't have to feel anything. I see your heart. I'm enough. Calm down. I'm looking right in your heart. If I see your heart is full of love, full of obedience, that you trust me, don't feel on anything. I remember him saying that clearly. Even if your prayer life isn't as you think it should be, I'm still there. I'm God. I'm enough. And so you don't have to work up anything. You don't have to pretend anything. You don't have to base your spiritual condition on anything other than this. God is enough. Amen. Glory to God. Doesn't that take a lot of pressure off of you? Takes a lot of the busyness out of your life. Takes a lot of the inadequacy out of your life. Because the enemy will come and make you say you're not doing enough. You should do more. And if you want to see the manifestation of God, you got to get on your knees until they bleed. God is saying, foolishness, I'm enough. Focus on me. I'm your strength. I'm your redeemer. I'm your rock. I'm your fortress. I alone am God. And we've gotten off of that because the church has gotten so caught up. And causing we entertain the flesh first. What will make the flesh feel good? What will entertain the people? What will cause them to shout and hop and jump and hang from the rafters? See, we go that way first, and we put God to the side. But God is saying, "But I'm enough. I'm more than enough for my children. You don't need to do all that extra stuff. So shake yourself." Because all that extra stuff is going down the drain. And if that is what has sustained you, if that is what has brought you joy and peace, you in for a rude awakening. Because God, if he has to force us, is going to turn us to him so that we can behold him and him alone. I thank God when he comes and he'll shake us. He say, okay, that's what you've been going through, the walk that you've had has brought you thus far, and that's good. All is well. But we now get ready to take another step. And you haven't gone this way before because you've gotten caught up in the blessings and you've taken your mind off of the blessor. You've gotten caught up in the promises and you've forgotten the promiser. And your dependence is on what my hands can provide, but your dependence should be on me and me alone. Glory to God. We as disciples of Christ, we have to learn that God is a fact. He's a fact. He doesn't have, you have to know that he is who he say he is. That's a fact. If nothing else, God is. He is. And then we have to believe that God alone is enough for all of our needs. All these dealings that we've been going through, I believe God has meant them to teach us this wonderful discovery that will crown our whole Christian life, that God is enough. We have, all of us, been in so many trials and tribulations and places where we've tried it all. We've done it all. We've fasted. We've prayed. We've spoken the word. And God is saying, but that's not enough. And he's allowed it not to manifest itself in our life so he can force us to finally say, God, you alone are enough for me. You alone. If you haven't been there, you will be. God has ways to show us that he's sovereign. You can cry, you can hoop, you can holler. You can do as the Pharisees did and bet on his gown. It's not going to change him. He's sovereign. His will for our lives will be done. And he will force you to look at him and behold the Lamb of God. And you will say, Father, if everything else fail, you are still enough. God's enough. And I'm going to show you later, as we begin to teach the word, how the enemy has crept in and caused us to doubt because we have failed to see that God is enough. And we have opened up a crack for him to get in, for him to blame God for the outcome not being as we thought it should be. But the promise said, but get your eye off the promise and look at the promiser. He alone, he's awesome. God is awesome. Our Father is marvelous, but we don't take time to meditate on him because we're too busy looking at his hand. It's just like a mother or a father. They give. They make promises. But they don't want the child just to be excited about the gift or be excited about the promise. They want the child to love them. Even if I withhold the promise for a day, what? Are you going to turn your back? Are you going to leave? Are you going to get an attitude? What about me? Fall in love with me. Fall in love with my character. Know that I'm just. Know that I'm full of mercy and goodness, and worship me. Love me regardless. If it goes your way or not, still love me. Don't just look at what I can give you, including my promises, the prayer life. Don't just look at that. If I decide to withhold that just for a moment, will your life fail? Will you give up? Will you be distraught? Will you be full of grief? Will you be depressed? Well, what about me? I'm still here. And in me, you have all things, the apostle says. All things. All things. It's a fact. Look in 62:9. It says, low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a life. Weight on the balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. See, measured against eternity, human life is a short breath, empty and vain. The writer says, weighing nothing on the scales. Weighing absolute. Compared to eternity? He says it doesn't even carry weight in eternity. And contrast with God himself, human life is insignificant. Glory to God. Material possessions add nothing. Only trust in God's power and love fills life emptiness. You want to fill that empty spot in your life with everything but God. Christmas has come and gone, and someone said, Lord, I wish Christmas would never leave. I feel different. That's because the love of God doesn't fill your heart. You know, I'm going to miss the presence. I'm going to miss the fellowship. That's because the love of God doesn't fill your heart. If God's love filled your heart, you will always have enough. You'll have more than enough. This joy you cannot take from me. It's forever and forevermore. The joy of the Lord is my strength. God is enough for me. I don't need all the extra material. If you need that to make you happy, you're in trouble. Because those things are like vapor. The writer said it weighs nothing compared to eternity. It is very insignificant. So if your joy is coming from a new dress or a new suit or new earrings or coming from all your beautiful gifts from Christmas, it fades. Fill your heart with the love of God. We have Christmas every day. We celebrate the joy of the Lord every day. I haven't lost a thing. I'm still excited. Hallelujah. Every day I woke up, I have new mercies. It's just like a child running downstairs every day. What's for today? My gifts never run out. I open up gifts every day. New joy, new mercy, new strength. Hallelujah. New grace forever and ever. Because God is enough for me. His love fills my heart. Does it fill yours? If God is what he would seem to be from all that we've been taught, if he is, as the writer says in verse 2, if he's our rock and he's our salvation, salvation here meaning our security is found in him. If he really is our fortress, if we really say that we will never be shaken, if we say he is our shepherd, if he's our father, if he is, as we said in Exodus, if he is the God of I am from generation to generation, he's whatever you need. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's your sanctifier. He's your banner of love. He's your righteousness. He's your shelter. He's your strong arm. He's your high tower. If we really believe that, then we're saying, God, you are enough for us. He's enough. And we have to begin to put this in perspective. Your singing, your eloquence, your speaking, even your gifts pale compared to him. My God, he's all in all. He's an awesome God. He's our Father. Can you get the revelation? A magnificent God is our Father. And we betray him for his promises. We betray him for our prayer life. We betray him for our speaking truth. We betray him because what we do, we begin to idolize those things and we forget him. Right back to the parent-child relationship. Gimme, 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 gimme. You know, and I'm going to take joy in all that you give me. I'm going to lift up. Look what my dad gave me. Look what my mom gave me. You know, when's the last time you see my dad, huh? Please, child, look what he gave me. Look at the credit cards I have. I never run out. My needs are always met. Well, how is your father? Tell me a little bit about your dad, huh? Let's talk about that later. Girl, look how he clothes me. And I know how to talk to him. All I got to do is fall on my knees and listen to this. And I can say, Father, and I know how to use the name of Jesus. I know exactly what to do to move my father's heart. And that's true because the Father loves you. And he's a covenant God and he's going to keep his covenant. But that doesn't mean he's not grieved. That doesn't mean his feelings aren't hurt. That doesn't mean that he doesn't feel rejected. Because now you all caught up in what his hand can give you. And you're telling him the things that you provide are so much more than you. You're not enough. Give me more, more. That's why we keep saying more, 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 more. If only I had this. If only I had this. If only I could speak that. If only I could go here. If only I had more education. But God's saying, child, I'm enough. I am that I am. That's my name. I'm everything you will need. Turn to me. He is enough. He's our healer. He's our peace. He's our all in all. Glory to God. He's alone. It's enough for all of our possible needs. But if we're honest, we're going to say in reality, our own experiences has not been all that we want. We've wanted a lot of things besides him. We've all been there. We wanted the excited feelings. It's like we can't get into God unless we get excited. He's more than that. If we don't get excited and get it, I'm not saying you don't have to, but don't think because you don't that he's not enough. You don't have to drum up anything. You can stay right there and say, but God, I love you. I love you. I love you. See, that way the flesh is not dictating. The enemy is not trying to tell me, and he cannot tell me. If you don't behave this way or that way, then you're trying to portray that God isn't enough. You're a liar. He is enough. I declare he's enough. I say loudly, he's more than enough for me. I stand firm, and I'm not intimidated by the enemy lies. I don't care if I don't move a finger. My heart says God is enough. And the Lord is pleased because he sees in the heart. He doesn't look at the outward expression. That can fool him. A lot of times we want to be fervent in our praise and our worship. And God said, but your heart is far from me. Your lips bless me, but your heart curse me. We have to move beyond pleasing people. And we have to begin to worship him in truth and spirit. He watches your heart. He watches your heart. She loves me. She loves me. She's saying that I'm more than enough for her. I'm thrilled. And then the windows of heaven open and the blessings begin to pour out. What father wouldn't bless someone that says, Father, you're more than enough? Glory to God. We wanted his presence with us, or we sought after a revelation of his love. Why are you seeking after a revelation of his love? It's a fact. He loves you. His word says it. His word says nothing can separate. So why are you looking for a revelation of his love? Seek him. He is love. He's more than a love. He's more love than you can ever handle. Worship him. Seek him. Stop sitting. I got to get a revelation of his love. You don't have to get a revelation. It's in the word of God. Believe the word of God, if nothing else. It's a fact. He is love. He is love. So we sought so many other things other than he himself, or doing Christian work and trying to go to school to increase our knowledge, but you truly are not seeking God. You're seeking self-gratification. When the Spirit of the Lord is crying out to us, just Christ himself, Christ alone, without the addition of any of our experiences, he is enough. See, this is how the enemy slips in, and we have to close that door. So he can't come in and intimidate us and tell us you're not worthy. You'll never be worthy. You don't have enough education. You don't have your prayer life is weak and watered down. You don't fast enough. You know, you tip back and forth in your sins. You feel like you're going crazy. And all of a sudden now you try to qualify yourself when the Spirit of the living God said, but I'm enough. I finished it on the cross. You don't have to add anything to that. I've done the work. It's done. I'm enough. I'm truly, it's a done deal. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:16 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God is a fact. You have to believe that. Do you believe he exists? Then that's enough. That's enough. He's your father. You're in Christ. Christ in him. Believe it. Stop trying to prove it. Stop wasting time trying to compare this scripture to that scripture to prove the fact that God is. He is. The Bible declares it so. Settle it in your spirit. He's enough. My God, he is enough. Psalm 62:5, it says, what? Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope The King James says, my expectation comes from him. But what are we saying? My soul wait upon my sound doctrines. My expectations come from them. Or my soul wait on my good disposition and feelings. Or upon my righteous work. Or upon my fervent prayers. Or upon my earnest striving. For my expectation comes from these. We've replaced all these extra things when we said, my hope comes from God. Period. Not by the way I feel. Not by my prayer life. Not by how I feel. Where is your expectation coming from? Your friends? Your job? Sunday morning service? Wednesday night service? Where is your hope coming from? We need to be able to say with the psalmist that my hope comes from God and God alone. Now, waiting upon God, the enemy has caused us to make us feel unsafe when we're waiting on anything. It's all in our flesh that we have got to be doing something. That if people see us sitting still and waiting and hoping in God, they're going to begin to characterize us as lazy, unsaved, backslidden. You have to fight the good fight in this area. Because, see, waiting on God is powerful. And if that's where our expectation is, and that's who we should be waiting on and hoping on, not what your friends say, not what your pastor says. Your hope is in God, because he alone is enough. We have to learn to wait, but in that we have to learn to be comfortable while we're waiting. As you're waiting, and your hope is in God and God alone, you're worshiping God, you're waiting on God, you're thanking God, you're uplifting God, you're extolling God, you're magnifying the Lord. Father, if everything else fade away, you're still there. You've told me you will not leave me nor forsake me. You're here with me. All these things that I need are for me. It's part of my inheritance. I trust in God and I trust in God alone. I'm led by the Lord. If he says do, I do, because God instructed. I didn't say do it. God said to do it. And so many times we do things out of our own initiative. We make plans how we can fix it, how we can comfort ourselves. You can't comfort yourself. 2 Corinthians 3 says God is the God of all comfort. When we've suffered, when we've gone through, God said, I am here to comfort you. He can comfort like no one else. So if you're in a place of uncomfort and you're hurting, God is enough. Let him comfort you. Don't you even begin to think of how you can comfort yourself. You just lay before the Lord and you feel safe in his arms. You say, God, you're enough. And I'm going to sit here because all things that I need, Father, they're in you. And you're going to comfort me in my pain. And you're going to comfort me in my unrest. Father, I worship you because you're enough. I don't know a promise. I don't know a prayer. I haven't fasted. I don't know the last time I read the word. But Father, that's insignificant because you alone are enough. And you are my Father. And I trust in you. And I wait on you because you are enough. You are enough. You are enough. You're talking about a clear vision and a clear mind. My mind is not befuddled about trying to think of how to do this and how to do that. And I can't think of a scripture and I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter. God alone is enough. The fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell in me. They're more than enough. He's my comforter. He will comfort me. He will comfort me. I'm not looking for a promise to comfort me. I'm not calling a friend to comfort me. I'm not looking for truth to comfort me. I'm going to God. I'm running after God. I'm chasing after God. Hallelujah. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your love. Father, I'm comforted. I'm going to stand, Lord. Hallelujah. I tell every demon in hell, my God is enough. My God is enough. You can't condemn me. You can't criticize me. You can't make me feel that I'm unworthy, because my God says he's more than enough for me. More than enough. Hallelujah. His name to me is I am that I am. Hallelujah. And it goes from generation to generation. He has not changed. The I am is my father. The I am is my protector. The I am is the lover of my soul. The I am is my peace. The I am is my banner of love. The I am is my righteousness. The I am is my all in all. He is enough for me. He's enough for me. He's enough for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You want to be at rest? Then you have to give up all your dependence on everything else and depend on God alone. You want to rest in God? Stop depending on anything but God. Don't depend on your wife. Don't depend on your husband. Don't depend on your children. Don't depend on your job. Don't depend on your personality. Depend only on God. Hallelujah. Don't thank you someone because you have a new car, a new house, your new clothes. Don't depend on that to make you anybody. The Bible just told us, compared to eternity, it's insignificant. It weighs nothing. Depend on God and God alone. Don't even depend on your intellect. God called you to preach. You say, God is enough. God is enough. He's called me. He will equip me. God alone is enough. He will teach me by his precious Holy Spirit. He will speak through me. Hallelujah. I'm here to serve God, not to impress man. And God is enough. Hallelujah. My God, my God. As long as we have expectations from other things, and we're not going to get anything but disappointment. Your feelings will change because circumstances change. Doctrines come and go. Everybody's developing new doctrines. Your Christian work may come to naught because God probably didn't tell you to do it anyway. Your prayers may seem to lose your fervency because your body's tired. And you're weak and you're sick. So your prayers will lose some of their fervencies. Promises may seem to fail. Everything that we have believed in or depended upon may seem to be swept away, and only God is left. Just God. The bare God. Hallelujah. Simply and only God. I've been there. Loved ones in a hospital dying. And I got the promises of God. And I'm speaking and I'm standing on the promises of God, but he's sovereign and God had his own way. I was speaking healing. I was speaking divine deliverance. It seemed like the promises of God failed, but he's sovereign. He will do what he wants to do. And I can remember, it's like God took my face and he said, Domia, behold my face. Get your face off yourself and behold my face. I'm still here. I am enough. I am a comforter. Even though I'm pulling them home, even though it feels like the promises have failed, even though man may come and tell you, I thought God said, you tell them that God is enough. God is sovereign. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. And peace begin to come in my heart. Hallelujah. Confusion went away because I couldn't understand. Lord, I'm saying what you said. I'm doing what you told me to do. God said, but your faith was in the promises. Your faith wasn't in the promiser. Your faith was in the promises. You missed it just a bit. But you learn a vital lesson. Keep your faith in God. Keep your faith in God. Not in the promises. Not in the prayers. Keep your faith in God. I am more than enough. I will never fail you. And comfort came to my soul. And some of you have been there. You wondered why. You wondering how come. You wondering when. Stop the wondering. God saying, just have faith in me. I am more than enough. I know what I'm doing. I move when I want to move. I have it all under control. Put your trust in me, not in the promises. Glory to God. He's not a man that he should lie. Everything he spoke in this word is true. Every word he spoke. But if a promise seemed to fail, who are you to doubt God? Who are you to question God? Who are you to even pause for a second and say, did God say? That's nothing but the enemy. Put your faith in the promiser. I don't care if everything is wiped away, there's still God. And he's not a man that he should lie. He's faithful. He's true. He's righteous. Glory to God. We say if we're going to find a promise to fit my case, then I could be at rest. But we misunderstand promises sometimes. We misapply them sometimes. And then at the moment we're leaning all our weight upon them, they seem to fail us. And then the enemy comes with his lying tongue. See, God didn't. God did. God didn't. God did. God didn't. God did. God did. God's more than enough. And you take a stand. My faith is in the promiser. My faith is in God. All else can pass away. But my faith remains in God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for magnifying yourself in our soul today. Magnify yourself in our soul today. Glory to God. We have to get to a point in our lives that the way we feel, the way we behave is no sign of our spiritual condition. No, it's not. Because anything can come along and make us change the way we feel, or may we behave, sickness or different circumstances. No indication of our spiritual condition as long as we say that God is enough. Our inner man begins to prosper. So if I may seem down, if I may seem out of sorts, don't you take that as a sign of my spiritual condition. Because my inward man is prospering. Because then will I know that God is enough. Don't judge me by what you see on the outside. No, I may not be looking all that today. I may not be smiling today. But that's no indication of my spiritual condition. Because inwardly I know that God is enough. And right now I'm praising him inwardly. I am declaring that he is enough. And as I begin to magnify the Lord, it will eventually change my outward experience. You have to know inwardly that God is enough. Fight the good fight knowing that God is enough. Don't be too quick to knock a person down. It's over because you don't know what's going on in the inside. They're fighting a good fight of faith. And all they want somebody to whisper in their ear, is God enough? Is God enough? But pastor, you don't know my troubles or my trials and tribulation. God is enough. But pastor, the difficulties that I have, God is enough. Pastor, don't you have any more to say other than that? God is enough. Remember, there is a God. There is a God. There is a God. And he is your father. Hallelujah. And he withholds nothing from his children. There is a God. Father, I got this report passed, and it's not a good report, and I don't know what to do. There is a God. There is a God. Make him the center of your life. Sometimes we talk too much. All you have to do is tell somebody, remember, there is a God. There is a God, and he is more. He's more than enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We find in the very existence of God and of his character all that we can possibly want for anything. I am is our Father. God is. He must be our answer to every question and every cry of need. If there is any lack in the one who has undertaken to save us, then nothing supplementary we can do will avail to make up for it. If he can't do it, you can't make up for it. Stop trying. There is no lack in him. Hallelujah. He is enough. He is enough. You have to believe it. Get our attention off of ourselves. Get our attention off of our own experiences. Because as long as we are turned away from the Lord, we cannot behold his face. While we look at ourselves, we simply cannot behold God. It's not that he hides himself. He's always in full view to all of those who look unto him. But if we are looking in another direction, we can't see his face. You see why the enemy keeps you focused on you so much? He doesn't want you to behold the Lamb of God. Look at yourself. Focus on yourself. Talk about yourself. Do anything but look in the face of God. You have to get your face, it's in the wrong direction. Just like God took my face that day and turned it. I was looking in the wrong direction, Janice. I was looking in the wrong direction, George. And if I had continued to look in that direction, I would have literally become sick. Because what I was looking at was tearing me up inside. And the Lord said, you're looking in the wrong direction. Turn around and behold the Lamb of God. I'm enough. I will comfort you. I will give you all you need. I have the answers. I am enough. Get your eyes off your circumstances so you don't feel good. Stop looking at it. Behold the Lamb of God. So you don't have a job. So what? Get your face off of that and turn and look at me. Behold the Lamb of God. I am everything you need. Worship me, saith the Lord. God and God alone. Circumstances can be trying and they can be hurtful. I'm not belittling that. But God has the answer to all of that. He's saying, turn around. You're looking in the wrong direction. Turn around and look at me. Behold, in me are all things, and they're yours because my inheritance belongs to you. God loves us, and because he is, then all things must go right for us. You know, I'll say, what else can he do, being what he is? Can he neglect us? No. Can he be indifferent to us? No. Can he forget us, be ignorant of our needs? Is anything impossible to him? No, he knows everything. He cares about everything. He can manage everything, and he loves us. What more can you ask? Come on, get a grip. Get a grip. He has to bless us. He can't help but bless us because he loves us. He could neglect us if he wanted to. He couldn't forget about us if he wanted to. That's not his nature. Snap out of it. He loves us. Hallelujah. He's more than enough. That ought to make you just start shouting. Hallelujah. Anything you need, all you have to do is ask, believing, and behold him and get your eyes off your own circumstances. And start, you know what? We need to start meditating on this. We need to start getting, take a turn in our spiritual journey. We need to really begin to practice saying that God is enough, that he's enough. He's enough. Stop trying to make up things to do to make God more than enough. He is enough because he just is enough. He's enough. Can you get it? He's enough. Stop all this supplementary things that you're doing to try to assist him in being your God. There's nothing you can do. Hallelujah. You can't do it. All things are yours, says Paul. I'm going to close with this because you know what? I like old Job in 13:15. If anybody can say anything out of the depths of sorrows and trials, listen to what Job say. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Then you got David in Psalms 23:4. David said in the moment of his anger, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then he says in Psalms 40, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. It doesn't matter. God is in the midst of all that comes against us. Then Paul says in Romans 8, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you need a revelation? My God, it's a fact. It's a fact that God loves you. You don't need a revelation. Stop getting in your closet and humming. I need a revelation. Turn all the lights out. Keep the quiet down because I need a revelation. You don't need to open up your word. Look in Romans 8. Begin to read with me. Hallelujah. It's a fact. Sometimes we get so spiritual, we get right silly. You don't need a revelation. God is enough. Hallelujah. And all I can say is after such a declaration as this, how can any of us dare to question or doubt God's love? And he loves us. He cannot exist and fail to help us. He cannot, because he loves us and he does exist. Do you believe he exists? Well, then he cannot exist and fail to help us. He has to help us because he loves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is enough. Glory to God. Woo, Jesus. God is enough. He's enough for time. God is enough for eternity. God is simply enough. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God.